here by Facebook. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 54, if you would. Isaiah 54 this morning. We're going to begin reading at verse 1. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for all that you're doing in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you ever live to work for us and you are working on our behalf. We ask that you prepare every heart for what you have for us to receive today. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah 54 is literally about the covenant with Israel and what God is going to do in the last days. However, many verses have been quoted from Isaiah 54, including the last verse that says, "No weapon formed against us can prosper." So, in addition to taking the scriptures literally, as they are designed to do, we can take them figuratively and apply them to ourselves. Amen? And so, it begins out in Isaiah 54, "Sing, O barren, you who have not borne, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord." Now you read this and you might say, "I don't understand this one bit. How can someone who is barren have more children than someone who is married and has the ability to have children?" Well, you know, this is one of those oddities with God, amen? Because we know that we do not live our life by what we see or feel or taste or smell. We live by faith in a God that performs miracles. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so he begins out with the word sing. Before we talk about that, let's just take a minute to talk about barrenness. You know, barrenness is that inability to produce an offspring, a child, the fruit of your womb, as the Bible calls it. And you know, in our lives, oftentimes producing fruit in our lives is those things that maybe God wants us to have that we don't have. Maybe it's peace, maybe it's joy, maybe it's something tangible, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a financial security, maybe it's healing. It could be a number of things that have evaded us. And we could be at a barren place in our life where we're not seeing the fruit of what we're believing God for in our lives. And we're saying, "I don't understand, God." And God is saying, "Well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to just go ahead and sing." "Well, Lord, I don't have nothing to sing about. I just told you I'm going through a barren place in my life." Well, he said, I'm not asking you to explain it or understand it. He said, "Sing, O barren. Sing, O barren." If you're barren, well, go ahead and sing. Okay, well, I'll sing, but how is that going to change anything? "Break forth into singing and cry aloud." Amen? You know, I'm all for quiet prayers sometimes. You know, in the silence of quiet prayers, meditating. But there's times when it's time to shout. There's times when it's time to, you know, the walls of Jericho fell when they shouted, didn't they? And he says, "Sing, O barren, you have not borne. Break forth into singing and cry aloud." That means, you know, whatever you want to know, shout, sing, get happy, get happy. And yet you say, "How can I do that? I'm in a barren place in my life." And God is not asking you to do it because you're in a barren place. He's just telling you to do it. Amen? If he said, whatever he says to you, do it, right? That's what Mary told them when they had no wine. You know, they have no wine. He says, whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. Well, the scripture says, just go ahead and sing, even if you're barren. Go ahead and shout and cry aloud. You who have not labored with child. He's talking specifically to you in your barrenness right now. You who have not labored with child. You're going through a barren period. You're going through a dry place. You're going through something where God is not birthing what you want to see in your life. And God is saying, go ahead and sing. Go ahead and shout. Go ahead and get happy. Go ahead and do this. And he's saying, because, listen to this, more are the children of the desolate than the children who are married. How do you birth something in your life if you're barren? You do it by singing and shouting. You do it by praising God. You do it by getting happy. You don't wait for the miracle to happen. You make the miracle happen by your singing and shouting and praising God. Amen? It's the formula all through the Scriptures. It's the Jericho March. It's the praying in the jail at midnight. It's the formula that God has for a child of God. You don't respond based on your circumstance. You praise God in your circumstance, and then God births the miracle in your life. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap right there. Amen. God is wanting to birth something in our lives, but He's waiting for you. You say, well, I'm waiting on God to do my miracle. And God is sitting there with His hands arms folded, waiting for you to start praising Him in your barrenness so that you can start seeing a whole bunch of kids come out of you. Amen? The second aspect of this, He says, verse 2, enlarge the place of your tents and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Now, you know, the first step is praising God in my barrenness. The second step, I love this, is go ahead and making plans for the kids. You see, faith makes plans for the answer before it comes. Amen? He says, go ahead and just stretch your tent out so it can hold all these kids you're about to have. Go ahead and just enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. You know, you got this tent. You got these feeble little stakes. And you say, well, if I stretch that old wooden stake ain't going to hold. It's going to snap. We'll get you one stronger because God's getting ready to do something. Go ahead and get a stronger stake. Go ahead and get a stronger rope. Go ahead and get a bigger tent because God's getting ready to do something. Now, when we're talking about literal barrenness, of course, he's using this as an example. But for us, we're talking about whatever that thing is that has evaded you in your life right now. And whatever that unanswered prayer is, whatever that need physically or emotionally is, He says, go ahead and act like you already got it. Go ahead and make plans like it's already there. Go ahead and enlarge your tent. Enlarging your tent means if you're believing God for a miracle to pay your bills, write out the checks and get ready to send them, right? If you're believing God for healing, go ahead and thank Him for healing and go out and get you some new clothes and say, I'm going to be walking in healing pretty soon and I will want to be out and about and be able to move better. Whatever God is telling you to do, do it before you see the manifestation. Amen? That's what faith does. And then verse 3, He says, you'll expand to the right and to the left. You see, that's the thing about this, is that I'm not believing God for a little bit. I'm believing God for a whole lot. Amen? I'm not believing God to just expand me this way. I'm believing for God to expand me this way. I'm not just believing for God to fill these chairs. I'm believing for us to have to bring in more chairs. Amen? So I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what my circumstances say. I'm going to sing. I'm going to shout. I'm going to enlarge my borders, and I'm expecting to go both ways. Amen? Come on, give God a hand clap there. That's the heritage of the children of God. And the fourth thing He says is, do not fear. Woo-hoo, hallelujah. There it is. It's always there. Somewhere right around the corner, you're going to run into it. Fear not, right? Fear not. You see, that's the problem with barrenness. You get scared. You say, oh God, what am I going to do now? I'm barren. I'm not producing fruit in my life. This thing I've been believing for is not happening. So God says sing. God says enlarge. God says expand and believe both directions. And then He says fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Oh, don't you just love that? You know, have you ever had one of the children of the devil come up to you and make you ashamed? Believe in God, huh? Well, I don't see anything happening. You know? And they want to bring you down. They want to make you ashamed. Oh, he's one of them Bible thumpers that thinks God answers prayer. Well, it ain't over till it's over. You know what? Fear not. You won't be ashamed. Do not be afraid. It doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what the devil says. Doesn't matter what your circumstances say. If God is God, God is still on the throne. And prayer changes things. So go ahead and shout. And go ahead and praise God, and go ahead and believe God, and go ahead and enlarge your tent, and expect it to go this way and that way, and don't be afraid. Don't even be afraid. When those fears of temptation come, say, nuh-uh, devil, not on me. I'm going to go ahead and I'll just sing through it. And you start having those anxieties, you say, oh, what am I going to do now? You're going to sing. Well, I'm running out of songs. We'll sing new ones, amen. Sing in the Spirit. Sing, sing, sing to God. Shout to God. It's going to be all right. Don't fear. You'll not be ashamed. Neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and you will remember the reproach of your widowhood no more. I love that part. I love that part. Because what God is saying is, you've went through this barrenness, you've become this widow, you've had this thing in your life and it's been there, but what I'm going to do in your life is going to be so magnificent that it will eclipse the memory of all that you've been through, and you're going to sing like you've never sung before, amen. And you're not even going to remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore, says the Lord. Praise God. So that's one good reason not to be afraid. Now, we're going to go ahead and read the rest of this chapter. Before we do, I want to talk about people who were barren, if I may, this morning. The first one, of course, was Sarah. And so God, in Genesis 17:19, He said, God, the Lord my strength, He makes my feet like those of a deer. He makes me to walk up on my high places. That's not Genesis 17. That's from Hosea. And then Genesis 17:50, my notes are all messed up apparently. And God said, so that wasn't the only thing I messed up this morning, Diane. So God says to Abraham, there we go, I got my notes together. As for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and I will give her a son also. And I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of a nation. Kings will come out of her. And Abraham fell on his face, and he laughed, and he said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Now this, Sarah had a laugh of unbelief. Abraham had a laugh of, God, you're so good. You know, he's like, wow, God, you're really going to do this. But up to that point, for 90 years, Sarah was barren. And the question is, how long do you have to wait? Well, until God's ready, amen. And He doesn't always come when we want Him to, but He's never too late, is He? He's never too late. And so Sarah had this great benefit of experiencing her barrenness taken away at an age when it was like it was never going to happen. It was never going to happen. And you know, when we go through the barrenness valley for very long, it can look like it's never going to happen. But I'm here to tell you that I think the best way to speed it up is 54:1. Just go ahead and sing through it. Amen. And as we sing and as we shout and as we enlarge our borders and as we do not fear, I believe that our barrenness can be taken away much quicker. The second one is Rebekah. And as Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah conceived. And so again, these great heroes of the Bible were barren. We don't think of them as barren because we know they had kids. We're seeing it from this side. But there was a period of time when they were on this side of it and they hadn't had the answer. It's always easier to praise God on the answer side of the barrenness when you've gotten the child. It's a whole different thing to praise God on the barren side before the answers came. And yet our text tells us that's when you're supposed to praise God. That's when you're supposed to shout. That's when you're supposed to sing. And then God will take away the reproach of your barrenness. And He said, those that are desolate will have more children than those that have wives. You want to talk about a miracle in your life. You want to talk about abundance in your life. You want to talk about amazing abundance in your life. Go ahead and praise God in your barrenness and watch what happens. Amen. Hallelujah. The third one is Rachel. Genesis 30. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I will die. And you know, have you ever known a woman who couldn't have kids? I was reading an article this week about a lady who was in a parking lot as I was studying barrenness. And she said there was a car pulling out and she turned on her blinker and it was a great parking place. You know how you love those great parking places. You're like, oh man, this is perfect. Right by the door, two cars from the end of the aisle, you know. And she starts to pull in there and it says, for pregnant mothers only. And here's a woman who's barren, who can't have kids. And of course, for anybody else, it was like, oh, I can't take that parking place. But for her, it was a painful reminder that she is barren. And Rachel says to Jacob, if you don't give me kids, I'm going to die. You know, I think it's in Proverbs, it says there's things that are hard, unquenchable. The fires of hell and a barren womb. You know, it's just unquenchable. You can try to encourage a woman. You can try to try to lift her spirits. You can try to say it'll be all right. But when she is barren, it is devastating. And Jacob's anger was kindled with her, and he said, "Am I in God's stead who's withheld you from the fruit of your womb?" Now, here's where it gets interesting. If you remember the story, Jacob went to work for his uncle Laban, and he worked 7 years for this beautiful woman, Rachel, whom he loved, only to find out after the wedding night, under the cover of darkness, he had consummated with her sister, Leah, and asked, you know, "Uncle Laban, what's the deal?" "Well, I got to marry her off first, but if you'll work 7 more years, you can have Rachel." Rachel was the one he loved. Leah had weak eyes, whatever that means, droopy eyes, I don't know. But during that time of Rachel's barrenness and Leah's unbarrenness, Leah bore 4 children for him: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. This is during Rachel's barrenness. This is during his separation from the woman he loves and her barrenness. And in that time, Reuben was born. Reuben means gift. And so God is saying, during this hard period of barrenness in your life, you need to start operating in the gifts of the Spirit. You know, sometimes we think I can only work for God if I'm comfortable. Lord, how can I? I'm too distracted by my barrenness. I can't focus on doing something for you, helping others, you know. And yet that's the time God is wanting you to use your gifts and begin to reach out and begin to minister to others in your barrenness, because this is the time of you're in love with Rachel, but you're married to Leah, and God is wanting to birth gifts in your life. And the second son he had was Simeon, which means prayer. And you say, "Well, Lord, it's hard for me to pray. All I can think about is my barrenness, what I'm going through." And God said, "No, you're going to pray, because this is how you get through your barrenness. You operate in your gifts, and then you, Simeon, you have a prayer life like you've never had before." And then the third son was Levi, which means joined. And this is where everything begins to change, because he had to accept that he was married to Leah, not Rachel. You're married to this one, but you want this one, and so you have to join yourself to her. And during your barren period, you have to join yourself to your barren period. You have to accept it. You can't deny it. You can't run from it. You can't say, "I don't want this." You got to embrace it and say, "This is my time with God. God put me in this barren place, and God is going to do something." And so you are joined. Levi, you are joined. And then, of course, finally, Judah means praise. Amen. And so you operate in the gifts. You begin your prayer life. You become one with your barrenness. And then you praise God, which is what our text says. Go ahead and sing. Go ahead and shout. Go ahead and proclaim it. And as he did these things during those 7 years of barrenness, then finally, Rachel conceived. Amen. And you will not see the birth of what you want in your life until you go through your Leah period. Until you go through this barren period and you begin to operate in the gifts of the Spirit and your prayer life, and you own it and you praise God through it, and then God will do a miracle in your life. And then in Genesis 30:22, it says God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her, and then God opened her womb. You will have children. Your children will be more than those that are with wives, the Scripture says. If you praise God, if you shout, if you enlarge your borders, if you go ahead and expect it to go this way and that way, just have great faith for great miracles in your life, and you don't fear, God says you will have more children than those that have wives. You're going to have so much fruit in your life, people are going to go, "Wow, I remember you a year ago. I remember how you were down. I remember this, I remember that." And you say, "How did you do it?" "I praised God and believed God and didn't fear, and God did the rest." Amen. Hallelujah to God. The other persons of barrenness was, of course, Hannah. Everybody remembers Hannah, Hannah's prayer. You know, one of the things that Hannah had to do was go and offer the offering at the temple. Samuel, of course, little Samuel was there, and Eli, the priest. And sometimes we don't feel like going to church, do we? You don't know where I'm going. I don't think I'm going to go today. I've been there before I was preaching. Now I have to show up. People say something about, you know, "Oh, you going to church this morning?" I say, "I have to. They won't let me not show up." That's right. So doesn't matter whether you know, even preachers, you know, we have down days. We have to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh and say, I'm going to church, you know. So Hannah rose up early, and after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk, and Eli the priest sat upon the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul. She's barren. Bitterness of soul. That's what barrenness is. It's bitterness of soul. And she prayed to the Lord, and she wept sorely. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaiden, and remember me, and not forget your handmaiden, but will give unto me, give unto your handmaiden, a man-child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now, here's where it gets really interesting. As you grow in the Lord through your barren period, the thing you want so bad becomes the gift you have to give to God. That's the pattern. God said the same thing to Abraham. He waited 100 years to have a son, then God says, give him to me. Put him on the altar. You have to be willing to put whatever it is on the altar all the time. All the time. Every week there's a week that doesn't go by. I don't put certain things and certain people on the altar of my life. I say, Lord, as much as I want this, I want you more. And until you get to the place where you can do that, you will never experience everything that God wants in your life. It's scary. It's super scary. You don't want to say it. It's painful, but it's necessary. And she says, if you will give me the child, I'll just give him back to you. Because all of a sudden, what you wanted in your barren period now becomes second to what you want in your relationship with God. Because that is paramount. And finally, the last example is Samson. We all know Samson. Heaps upon heaps with a donkey's jawbone, I have killed 1,000 men, right? I don't know if you talk like that, but you know, maybe, or maybe Arnold Schwarzenegger. Heaps upon heaps, I've killed 1,000 men. You know, but anyway, we all think of him as the great man. We forget that his mother was barren. There was a certain man in Zorah of the family of Dantes, whose name was Menorah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman, said to her, behold now, you are barren, and you bear not. Like she needed God to tell her that, right? But you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray, and drink no wine or strong drink, and eat not anything unclean. For lo, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for he shall be a child, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from his mother's womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And so at the end of your barrenness, God is more concerned, not about, oh, that you have this, you're not barren anymore, that you have this thing birthed in your life, but the thing that's birthed in your life is going to bring deliverance to people all around you. Amen? And so instead of being worried about your barrenness or what I'm going to get, you start saying, God, as you bring me through this period of barrenness, as you begin to birth this thing in my life is going to be a great blessing to others. It's going to be this thing that delivers people from judgment and from bondage and from heartache and from despair. And why would I want to keep that from God? So what do I do, Lord? I'm going to sing and I'm going to shout and I'm going to enlarge my tent and I'm going to stretch it both ways and I'm not going to be afraid anymore because God is going to birth this thing in my life when I pass the test that God is sending me through. Amen? So now we're going to go ahead and continue in Isaiah 54 verse 5. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. The Holy One of Israel is Jesus, right? He is called the God of the whole earth. You know what? If he's the God of the whole earth, he's the God of my corner of the world, isn't he? He's the God of my house. He's the God of my yard. He's the God of my bedroom. He's the God of my upstairs, my downstairs, my basement. He's the God of my life. He's a God of the whole earth. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you refuse, says your God. For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. You see, when you feel like God has forsaken you, it's just for a little moment. He's just sending you through a valley. He's just letting you be barren for a while because He knows that you need to pass the test. You need to learn to sing in your barrenness. You need to learn to shout. You need to learn to expand your tent. Have faith that God's going to do it and not be afraid. But when you do that, he says, but with great mercies, I'm going to gather you back. With a little wrath, I hid my face from you for a moment. But with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. Now think about this. God's drawing a comparison. And it's the waters of Noah. It's the promise of no more judgment. Amen. So this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I swore that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so I have sworn that I will not be angry with you nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. Maybe you felt like God has abandoned you this last week, this last month, this last year. Maybe you feel like God was angry with you. Maybe you feel like God didn't care. No, God cares. He says, maybe I just had to remove myself from you, hide my face from you a little bit to get you to go through this period of time. But He says, man, it's all good. My kindness will not depart from you. My covenant of peace will not be removed from you, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. His mercy is made new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. God loves you. It's going to be all right. O you, afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems and lay your foundation with sapphires. You know, when we get to heaven, the Bible says we're going to have jewels in our crown. And there's going to be a jewel in your crown for the barrenness that you went through. And God, see how beautiful this is? See how wonderful this is? I know it was painful, but look at what I've done in your life. Something beautiful in your life. I will make your pinnacles of rubies and your gates of crystal and all your walls of precious stones and all your children to be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear. And from terror it shall not come near to you. You're not going to be afraid anymore. You're not going to be petrified anymore. God, why are you doing this in my life? It's going to pass. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. In other words, all those demonic attacks that you've been under, God's getting ready to blow them away. They're going to fall. They're just going to fall. You know, the hills melt like wax in the presence of the Lord. Do you think demons are any different? Behold, I've created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the spoiler to destroy. Listen, verse 17. No weapon forged against you shall prosper. That means all those plans of the enemy. And God maybe backed up a little bit and the devils have been coming on you and you've had all these oppressive thoughts and all these depressive thoughts and you've been in the spiritual warfare. But God says the weapons will not prosper. The plans of the enemy will not prevail. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. Every demonic voice that has brought despair and discouragement and pain in your life, you say, no, devil, no. I'm a child of God. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. No weapon formed against me can prosper. Get your ugly face behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus, and you will prevail. You will prevail. You will prevail. Why? Because this is the heritage of the servant of the Lord. If you're a servant of the Lord, this is your heritage. You know, I was praying this prayer this week and I said, you know, heritage. I said, my grandma was a praying woman of God. She eyeballed the devil many times. And this is my heritage, Lord. I may have oppressive thoughts. I may have depressive thoughts. The enemy may come on me. But I have the same anointing as her. It is the heritage that has been passed down from generation to generation to generation. It's that same anointing. It's that same smearing. It's that oil that ran down Aaron's beard and down his robe. It's the power of the Holy Spirit operating in my life. And no tongue that rises against me in judgment will prosper. I will condemn it back to hell where it come from. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord God. Amen. Praise God. And their righteousness, look at this, is from me. See, one of the big lies of the devil is you're not smart enough, you're not spiritual enough, you're not good enough, you can't make it. But he says, the righteousness is of me. Yeah, my righteousness is a filthy rags. I can't do anything in myself, but in Him I live and move and have my being. And His righteousness is translated unto me through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And I am the man of God. You are the man, men and women of God. And no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So as we close this morning, what do I do when I walk out of here and those voices come? Start singing. What do I do when I walk out of here and I feel so depressed and discouraged? Condemn those voices and start singing and shouting. But what happens when I sing and shout and nothing happens? Start imagining what you're going to do when the answer comes. How am I going to expand my borders? How am I going to handle this great blessing that God's getting ready to bring in my life? Yeah, but what if nothing happens and I feel fear? Don't fear. Just keep doing it. Go back up. Go to verse 1. You know, as a computer programmer back in the old days, they used go to, G-O-T-O. You could start a loop. If you don't know what you're doing, you get in an endless loop, and then you have to kill the program because you can't get out. Just loop back up from verse 1 to verse 4 and just keep doing it until something changes. Amen? See, that's the problem sometimes. We don't get victory in our lives because, like so many others, like Adam and Eve, who said, yeah, the Lord said not to eat this, but then they don't go back and keep saying it. Amen? But when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, Satan came at him 3 times. Jesus kept quoting the word, didn't he? And so you resist the devil and he will flee. That's right. So just keep doing what you know to do. No weapon formed against you can prosper. Every tongue which rises against you, you will condemn. Diane, come on up. Praise God. As we pray this morning, Diane plays softly. This is not a chapter for the people who are normal. It's not a chapter for the people who don't have problems. I say normal, really normal is problems, I guess. The people who have it together. It's for the rest of us. I say the rest of us. Well, really, nobody has it together, but they perceive to have it together. You see them and you say, Lord, why aren't they hurting? They're probably just hiding it. Why are they not barren? They seem to have it all together. You know, one of the things I like about certain pastors that I listen to is the ones that confess from their message, yeah, I've had a rough week. This sermon was birthed out of me, out of my barrenness, out of some things in my life. And you appreciate pastors who can be honest and open with that, because the reality, again, it's all of us. It's all of us. But I'm here to tell you, I refuse to let the devil win in my life. I refuse. He should have killed me when he had me, but it's too late now. I'm going to win. I'm going to give him a black eye. He's going to be sorry he messed with me. And you know, because of that, my prayer life has increased this week. I've experienced some riches that I haven't felt in a long time. And you know, the devil is so stupid. He wants to tell you you're going to lose. And if you give in, you will lose. But if you fight the fight of faith, you will come out stronger and he will be running from you. I love to make the devil run, don't you? And so, as we close this morning and we pray, remember, you're not alone. I'm right there with you. We're all together. We all experience the same kind of things in our life. But barrenness, as we saw in these examples of these people, doesn't end at the end of their life, because God has the ability to remove barrenness and birth something in us. And so we sing and we shout, we enlarge, and we do not fear. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to you this morning, forgive us for the times that we have feared, the times that we didn't sing when we probably should have, times that we focused on our barrenness more and then the God who is able to change the circumstance, or the valley that we go through asking how long, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for our doubt and our fear and our unbelief, and teach us to be men and women of faith, men and women of the Word, men and women of prayer. For we know, Lord, that great are the children of the barren who operate in the gifts of the Spirit, who use their gifts for the glory of God, who pray, who own their barrenness and are one with it until the season of barrenness is over, and who praises God. through the circumstances. Forgive us for our weaknesses. And by the help and grace of God, this week we're going to operate in Isaiah 54 and sing and shout away our barrenness. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Praise God.